नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 14th. And text 25 is on the board. Yes. And there's no purport there, so we'll be reading text 25 and text 26. Eshu snanam japo homo ratam deva Dvijarchanam, Pitri, Deva, Nri, Bhutebhyo, Yad, Datam, Tad, Jai, Anasvaram, Eshu Snanam Japo Homo, Ratam Deva Dvijarchanam, Pitri Deva Nribhutebhyo Yadatam Tadya Anasvaram Eshu Snanam Japo Homo Ratam Deva Dvijarchanam Pitri Deva Nribhutebhyo Yadatam tadyanasparam. Eshu snanam japo homo. Ratam deva dvijachanam. Pitri deva nribhutebhyo. Yadatam tadya anasparam. Etu snanam japo homo. Nabi bhutibhyo. Yadatam tadyanasvaram. Snanam japo homo. Deva dvajarchanam Pitri deva nibhutebhyo Yadatam tadyanasvaram. Ladies. Eshu snanam japo homo. Tam deva dvijarchanam. Deva nibhutebhyo yadatam tadyanasvaram. Eshu, in all these seasonal times, snanam, bathing in the Ganges, Jamuna, or any other sacred places, japa, chanting, homaha, performing fire sacrifices, ratam, executing vows, deva, the Supreme Lord, dvijachanam, worshipping the brahmanas, or Vaishnavas, pitri, unto the forefathers, deva, demigods, Nri, human beings in general, Bhutebhya, and all other living entities, Yat, whatever, Datam, offered, Tat, that, he, indeed, Anasvaram, permanently beneficial. Translation. During these periods of seasonal change, if one bathes in the Ganges, in the Jamuna, or in another sacred place, if one chants, offers fire sacrifices, or execute vows, or if one worships the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the forefathers, the demigods, and the living entities in general, whatever he gives in charity yields a permanently beneficial result. So, text 26 is Samskara Kalo Jayaya Apatyasyat Tamanastata Prita Samsta Mritatascha Karmanyab Byodaye Nripa. Samskara Kala, at the proper time, indicated for Vedic reformatory performances. Jayaya, for the wife. Apatyasya, for the children. Atmanaha, and one's own self. Tata, as well as. Preta Samshta, funeral ceremonies. Mrita Aha, annual death ceremonies. Cha, and. Karmani, a fruit of activity. Abhyudaya, for furtherances. Nripa, O King. Translation. O King Yudhisthira, at the time prescribed for reformatory ritualistic ceremonies for oneself, one's wife, or one's children, or during funeral ceremonies and annual death ceremonies, one must perform the auspicious ceremonies mentioned above in order to flourish in fruit of activities. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Vedas recommend many ritualistic ceremonies to be performed with one's wife, on the birthdays of one's children, or during funeral ceremonies. And there are also personal reformatory methods like initiation. These must be observed according to time and circumstances and the direction of the Shastra. Bhagavad Gita strongly recommends Gyatva Shastra Vidanoktam. Everything must be performed as indicated in the Shastras. For Kali Yuga, the Shastra enjoins that Sankirtan Jagya be performed always. Kirtaniya Sadahari. All the ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the Shastras must be preceded and followed by Sankirtan. This is the recommendation of Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Oma Gina Timirandasya Ginanjana Salakaya Chakshulan Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Panchakopa Tudubhascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasiri Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, again, many wonderful instructions here. You know, this morning, after yesterday's program, last night speaking, Kachuri's late at night, I feel like I have a festival hangover this morning. A little foggy. Whenever I read these, I always remember Srila Prabhupada in his room here. Because, of course, he was, this was his world headquarters, New Dwarka, the world headquarters, up until 74-ish, when much went into India, and Prabhupada spent a lot of time in India. But this was always the place where Prabhupada would stay for so many years. And as a result, of course, so much management was going on from his room there. Devotees would come in. I said Karunder, who was GBC, Prabhupada considered him very special. He said Karunder could do anything. Prabhupada had so much faith. So many discussions would go on here and about the Krishna consciousness movement, how to spread Krishna consciousness. And sometimes, of course, Prabhupada would get letters. Every day, letters were coming in. We know Prabhupada, he was our Sankirtan general. This was the army. Srila Prabhupada created such an army in Krishna consciousness. And he made it very clear what was important. These were the days when I first came here in 1972. It was May 1972. I came over with a few other devotees from New Vrindavan just to receive Gayatri Mantra from Srila Prabhupada. And at that time, the Krishna book, big Krishna book, the big one, they were available then. That was the big book that was available. And devotees, of course, when Srila Prabhupada was here, devotees would come from all over the country to see Srila Prabhupada, to hear his classes, and very often to become initiated. But at the same time, they were engaged. We had to be engaged in some service. And that service, I remember at that time, we were going door to door with these Krishna books, very big Krishna books. We were going door to door. And, of course, we were in Dodi Kurta like that. And it was arranged by temple president through Kurunder. We all had different areas we could go. Los Angeles, of course, a very big county. So we were all allowed. We had certain sections. It was very organized. So we had our section, and we would go two by two to the door and just knock on doors. This was actually the only time I ever did book distribution. I'm very embarrassed to say. But and it was successful. And as what we did, of course, was we would just open up the book. We didn't know much what to do. And we would open up the book and show pictures, a lot of the pictures in the book, these photographs. Going in Srila Prabhupada's room last night, we spent some time in there at Aratik and just looking at all these paintings that were produced by the BBT Art Department, which was also brought here to Los Angeles. Approximately, I guess that was also 1973, right around then when the Art Department moved from New York to L.A. It was a very big move. And they were all in the front of the, it's called the Yellow Building, right across the street there, I remember. And such beautiful paintings were there. And Srila Prabhupada, he loved these paintings very much that were in these books, he said, because they were made with such devotion. His disciples who painted these, he said, had such devotion. And every detail of the paintings that were done was by Prabhupada's approval process. All the sketches were shown to Srila Prabhupada. If there are questions, if you read the letters, some wonderful letters from Srila Prabhupada, sometimes to the entire art department, to specific devotees, instructing just how to do everything. And, you know, this one, no, there's no effulgence. Shaktavish avatar and dhoti can be yellow or orange, either is okay for brahmachari, and this one should have a shaved head, and this one should have a mustache, and this person should have a beard. It was very specific on details of how everything was to be done. This was our sacrifices, our ritualistic ceremonies, was making everything. Prabhupada wanted everything first class for his books, because his books are the Sankirtan Yajna for this age. This is the Sankirtan for this age, are his books. Some places I go now, they even, they have blessing car ceremonies. So many different ceremonies can be there. But the ceremony that Srila Prabhupada was interested in was Sankirtan. And as the book distribution began to take off, and Keshava and others in San Francisco area, you heard so many books were going out here and books started going out there, Prabhupada just became just so enlivened. It was everything that he wanted. You know, he was up in his room. You go there, sit there in front of Srila Prabhupada. Last night, I went up there with my wife, and we picked up her grandmother. And she was upstairs. She was there for the Artik ceremony. She's of Russian origin. And we took some pictures of Srila Prabhupada behind his desk, and she was standing. So she said, "Is it okay?" You know, she was asking, "Yes, it's okay." Because she saw Prabhupada sitting there with the dictaphone, and she thought Prabhupada was there. You know, and of course we said, "Well, Prabhupada is there." But she said, "No, I thought he was there, you know, that he's alive sitting there." You know? And of course that funny thing, "Well, he is alive sitting there." But she, you know, Prabhupada upstairs, you see him sitting there, that dictaphone with his bead bag, it's very, you know, very incredible. Prabhupada's there and beautiful. The Murti is so beautiful, Srila Prabhupada sitting there. So it was very nice. But Prabhupada spent so much time every day, every evening, doing these books, translating these books, seeing that the books were printed, seeing that they were translated into other languages, encouraging every day. And it wasn't just so a few thousand people could read his books, you know, his direct disciples or even his grand disciples. It was for all humankind. Srila Prabhupada wanted to see these books going everywhere. And this was the sacrifice that Srila Prabhupada made by his spiritual master's order. And this is what he always encouraged us to do. And, you know, as those months went on, 1973, when Prabhupada was here, and by that time Rameshwar, he was BBT coordinator and encouraging the book distribution. And he would come in and he'd come to the bottom of the stairs in the evening sometimes, and he would just kind of wait there. And then Srila Prabhupada knew he was there. He would call for him because he would read, just like you do. These things we do, these rituals we do, this was the reality of how things were done. You know, I was talking about last night, Srila Prabhupada was, you know, for his personal servant, Srila Prabhupada was a deity. But he was living deity, so we were serving Srila Prabhupada. So we're doing the same thing, reading Sankirtan scores, doing all these. It's not just some mindless ritual that we do, but their lordships, their persons. Srila Prabhupada's a person. He would hear these scores and he would just become ecstatic, and he would say, you know, he would increase his desire to translate his books by this. That's what he would say. The more I hear these books are being distributed, then I become encouraged to translate. And of course, if there was a bottleneck and he was translating, and he saw, where's the next volume coming? Where is this next book? If it took too long to come, then he'd say, "Come, I'm doing all this work. Where is the book?" He would want to see these books. So he's always pushing his disciples. And wherever he was around the world, that was, you know, one of the big days. And you see those pictures as well, the pictures of Srila Prabhupada sitting behind his desk, one Bhagavatam or BTG magazine or the things, and he would be looking at it because that was the first printing, you know, the first book. It would go right to Srila Prabhupada so he could see it. And of course, Prabhupada, upon seeing these books, he would become ecstatic to see these books going out. So this was the Sankirtan that Srila Prabhupada always wanted for us, going out, chanting, distributing his books. And in his room, as we of course started to go to India, then we became connected and seeing things going on with other Vaishnava groups, societies, different temples. Chaturmas, where of course we had our 4 months, and Prabhupada also instituted that. It made very simple. We have 1 month we fasted from yogurt. 1 month we fasted from, of course, dal and leafy vegetables, milk. But then in going to India, other things, people started doing, of course, is like not shaving, not cutting their hair and not shaving. So Prabhupada was getting information. And he dictated a letter to one disciple. And he said, you know, this beards. He said, again, he said, just want to become hippies. You know, just interested in becoming hippies. He said, this is, Prabhupada didn't want that. When he went to Mayapur, he was received by his sannyasis with growth, you know, about a month of growth on their head and on their chins. And Prabhupada said, now this is just your hippie mentality. He said, shave. He said, like me. Prabhupada always kept clean, clean shave, his head shaved. So he said, do like that. Then in his room, he said, my disciples, he said, they want to follow so many rules and regulations. He said, but they can't even follow four. He said, they can't even chant their rounds and follow the four regulative principles, but they want to do so many other things. He said, just do these things, chant your rounds, follow the regulative principles. And he was interested in preaching and the Sankirtan movement. So this was always his mood. Then another time in his room, he said, you know, if not for this Hare Krishna mantra, he said, you couldn't do anything. He said, so much intoxication, illicit sex. He said, you Westerners. He said, my Western disciples, so much sinful activity. He said, you couldn't accomplish anything except for the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. So this was always his prescription. I'll be going in a Saturday. This is probably my last class. Of course, so we'll talk a little more about Srila Prabhupada. There was one from the very beginning. Of course, we know Prabhupada's very first temple. It was 26 Second Avenue. In Prabhupada's quarters, for those of you who have been there, there was the storefront. We always talk about the storefront, 26 Second Avenue. And you see the pictures, matchless gifts and classes and such evenings, such a time. And then, of course, the building was like had a courtyard in the middle. So when you went out through the storefront, you went through the back door and there was a courtyard, and then you went up some stairs, and Prabhupada's had his room there. So he also had his room where he stayed, which was very small. He had his trunk there, which was his desk. So that was 26 Second Avenue. So text 26 is what I'm thinking. Text 26 we're doing here today. So just 26 is there. So it's just a number. But Srila Prabhupada could make anything very interesting. You know, everything was interesting with Srila Prabhupada. And this number also was in 1973. Of course, this time GBC was established. There was like 12, I guess, GBCs. And Prabhupada would have his meetings in the very beginning. Sometimes he would bring them to the room. They would all sit in Srila Prabhupada's room. Or he would go to the room in the Lotus building next door and sit and manage and give instruction how he wanted things done. So this one day, one of my godbrothers, some of you may know him, his name is, I don't remember what is his name. Bhakta John. His name, his initiated name was Bhakti John. And he was actually one place Prabhupada called him a hobgoblin. He's very, very tall, right? You know, Bhakti John. I saw him just at the Rath Yatra this year. And he was there in Mayapur. He was one of the early. At the time, he was afraid of this GBC, you know, what these people were doing. And he was one of these kind of people interested in conspiracies and things. So he came to me, as Prabhupada's servant, said, you know, I want to sit on these meetings. He said, I'd like to sit and see what's going on. He said, I want to know what they're doing, you know. And I said, well, they're not open meetings that anyone can sit in, you know. He said, I really want to be there. He said, what can you do? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I said, I distribute sweets. You know, I was going in with sweets and give everyone a sweet. So I said, I'll give you the plate if you can do it, you know. And we said, okay. So that day, Prabhupada's sitting there, all these GBC men, some sannyasis are sitting there, and he comes in, and he's not inconspicuous by any means. He's just very tall, and he gives everything out, and he sits down, you know, just over by the side by Srila Prabhupada's sitting place. And the meeting hadn't commenced, but there were devotees were talking, and Prabhupada's sitting there as they're talking. And two of them, they were from Hawaii, and they were good friends, devotees, one was sannyasi, and they kind of start an argument, just start disagreeing with one another on something, and they became a little loud, and one of them, he's a sannyasi, he was a sannyasi, now a big Hari Bol society, you mean a siddha. He speaks very colorfully. He's known for his colorful language. Even when he speaks from the Vyasa sign, he uses different expletives and for emphasis, I guess. And so he was like that. He's always been like that. And, you know, in Hawaii, they say, well, that's just local. You know, that's how we go, right? They, you know, they say what they think and they can speak. So the two of them are talking like this. And it's in front of Srila Prabhupada. It's within Prabhupada's earshot. And they're just going back and forth. And they say, you don't know, you know what the hell you're talking about. And they're just going. So it was very interesting. So anyway, Prabhupada sees Bhakti John. And he goes like this, you know, come here. So it's just a small cushion. So Bhakti John comes. So he's right next to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada starts talking to him, just like it was kind of intimate and private, you know, when he's talking to the side. So Bhakti John's sitting, and Prabhupada said, you were there in the beginning, right, in the beginning in New York? And yes, Prabhupada. And he said, you were there at 26 Second Avenue, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, Prabhupada. He said, do you know, he said, I just was told that my room, 26 Second Avenue, he said, now they're renting it for $62 a month for that room. He said, $62. Then he went, 26, 62. And he's doing like this, and these, or they're right in front of him. And he's going, 26, 62. And Bhakti Dhan doesn't know what Prabhupada's doing, but... But Prabhupada just having a little joke with him. But at the same time, everybody's wondering, what's he talking to Bhakti John about? You know, because this must be very serious, because we're in this very serious place, serious meetings, spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, how to do the preaching. And there's these two guys here fighting and they're cursing. And so Prabhupada must be like really, you know, just talking about something. But he was just telling him this funny story about 26. But Prabhupada was so funny, you know, you never knew. And he could do like that, you know. Sometimes he would talk and you'd think, oh no, you know, like, he must be saying something really, really amazing, you know. He must, but he's going 26, 62, 26, 62. So Prabhupada could anything. As I said, Prabhupada had such a sense of humor. So anyway, I was thinking, I just wanted to tell that because it's just such a, you just never knew. You never knew what would happen, you know, when you got up and you're bowing down in front of Srila Prabhupada, when you go into his room. Sometimes you knew what was going to happen. You were going to get chastised before your head even got off of the ground. He'd be yelling at you because that's why he called you into the room. But you just never knew. So he just thought that was very amusing, and why he called him over to talk about it, and you know, all the other things that happened. It was just very wonderful. We have a little time. Like I say, this evening, I think at 6:37, I'll be at the Bhakti house. to do a little program there. But otherwise, I have to start getting ready. I'll be leaving Saturday. I just want to thank everyone for your kindness here and encouraging me to continue in my service. And if anyone has any questions about anything over the last days, Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much for your wonderful association and your wonderful nectar. You were mentioned that Prabhupada established the 4 months of Chaturmasya. So in regards of fasting of leaf, so it was including all green leaf or only spinach? Because what I hear from some devotees is that that month is only spinach, no leaf. So can you say something in regard to that?
I mean, at that time, of course, at least in the U.S., that's the only leafy green we knew was spinach. I don't think we cooked many other things. And now there's all these varieties of greens. But as it's taken in India, it's basically a leafy green, I think, is what it means. So to include any one of those in there would be appropriate. It wouldn't hurt. But back in the 70s is all we knew was spinach. But it's leafy green. Who eats lettuce? We never ate lettuce. again, in India, now, of course, so many things are there, but that was always one of the difficulties for me was, their idea of lettuce was your grated, it was always mixed cucumber and yogurt, raitas, and we had raitas, but there were never any, even when spinach was there in India, they would sell it in the evening, and they'd bring it out and you'd sell it in the evening because if you brought it out in the day, it would just shrivel up and die, because it was so hot out. So everything was a challenge. So we didn't see at that time lettuces. You can fast from all greens if you want, is okay. No, there's no harm done. But again, Prabhupada's interest was, and that's why for us it was very minimal. And like he said, there's so many, if you're going to start, we have two things we can do. We can do, make a choice and do so many things. But Prabhupada gave us his program of what he wanted us to do as far as rules and regulations and the auxiliary ones besides our 16 rounds and the regulative principles and doing these things like on Chaturmasya and Ekadasi. Ekadasi for us was very simple. I'll mention that in a minute. But we can do that, he said. But if you want to, he said, then you can't just pick and choose. Well, I think I'll not shave. He said, well, then you have to bring in all the other rules and regulations. So then you eat your khichdi off the floor, directly off the floor once a day, whatever you can lick up, and all the other things that are also there. So it's not like you can decide, I like these rules, this will be fun, I'll do this. But no, then do everything, according to the Shastra. So it's very, very good way that I see is to follow Prabhupada's instructions, since that's what we're doing. We're followers of Prabhupada. He mentions all these things. What's he say? Begin with Sankirtan and end with Sankirtan. You want to put everything else in between. But Prabhupada wanted to begin with Sankirtan, end with Sankirtan, and in the middle, more Sankirtan, more chanting, more distributing of his books. So these are, details. Ekadasi was another one. Now, so many things we can't have on Ekadasi according to different various Vaishnava groups. And I say, when Prabhupada was here, our main preparations practically now, we would no longer be able to eat carrots. We hear about carrots, don't eat carrots. Well, carrot halava was, that was like one of our big preparations in the temple was carrot halava on Ekadasi, and the other one was peanuts and raisins. So now peanuts are also turned into a legume, not a nut. But these are things we used at that time. And, of course, some will say, well, you know, we have to advance from that spot. You know, there was this, but now we know, you know more, understand more, and I know I still use carrots, you know, eggplant, so many different things on a codicil because it's what Prabhupada. It's all I know what to do because I was so connected in doing things for him. So, you know, for me, it's also part of remembering Srila Prabhupada by doing these things. You know, this is how we remember. Like I said last night in the class, Prabhupada said, you know, when the devotee, that woman in Mexico said, if, you know, we can't remember Krishna at the time of death, what if we remember you? And Prabhupada said, that's all right. You know, so remembering Srila Prabhupada in any way is very healthy for us in a Krishna conscious way. Yes.
Offered varieties of fancy food, maybe he wouldn't take it because he has his diet. And I was just recollecting memories of how, because of the Sankirtan Yagya, for practical reasons, we do, you know, like what a sadhu eats normally in the morning, in the mode of goodness, ayurvedically speaking, you know, it's like very sattvic, very. Something that is not going to cause indigestion. So I was saying that most of the times, you know, like heavy food in the morning, you know, the army is going to fight. So, and even there are sayings that the first 6 months you eat up to the neck, you know, all these things you heard. But then later on you're seeing also that it caused like so many problems, you know, in devotees' health and issues and so many things. My question is was there any time when Prabhupada was noticing and all this, maybe even to the point of misusing or abusing the way devotees were eating, or he just disregarded? Did he make any like a restriction, or do you hear anything about be simple, don't eat too much?
not that I'm aware of. As a general rule, you know, if people were ill or something, sometimes he would give advice. He was never into like fasting and not taking anything was not one of his processes. Like here in LA, I mean, even back then, I remember, you know, fasting for long, you know, what seemed like forever. I fasted for a week once. And, but like Prabhupada, when sometimes he'd call me in the room and when lunch was, it was lunchtime, and he called me in before massage and says, the one day he said, so today he said, I'm not feeling well. And this is the only way you would know if Prabhupada didn't feel well, because he would say something in regards to a service or taking prasadam. Otherwise, he never liked, my head, and then the head hurts, and my hand, you know, or got an infection, and I have a cold, or, you know, but he'd say, he said, today, he said, make khichdi for lunch. He said, because I'm not feeling well. So that was, when he didn't feel well, he would ask for khichdi. And khichdi, he said, in that state, he would say, two parts rice, one part dal, salt, turmeric, and just a, you know, teaspoon of ghee. So that's what he would want for lunch. So he said that. So now this was before I had to, you know, prepare the cooker or so many things. So for me, that was very easy just to make khichdi rather than preparing, you know, so many different things and setting up the cooker. So I said, yes, Prabhupada, all right. So then I did that. I got everything set up. And then I start massage. I went in and started massage. So massage his head. And the other thing that's, he would do that like himself personally. If he felt like he had a cold, then no sandalwood oil, because sandalwood oil is cool, acts cooling. Put it on your head, Prabhupada said, keep a cool head, you know. But then he would not use sandalwood oil. And so I'm massaging his back, and he said, I don't feel good. He said, no prasadam for lunch. Well, I said, yes, Prabhupada, okay. So that was also not, for me, that wasn't a difficult, to arrange no prasadam. So I said, yes, Prabhupada. So that quick he changed and he said, no prasadam. So now I'm massaging, and another 15 minutes goes by, and he said, I'm all right. He said, make full prasadam. And now I'm massaging, I'm thinking, oh, I haven't done anything. I wasn't prepared, you know. To be prepared, right? That's the motto. Be my servant. You need to be prepared. Now I've got khichdi on the stove and nothing else, and now he wants rice chapati style and sabjis. He said, make regular prasadam. So I said, yes, Prabhupada. I said, but I haven't done any. That's all right. Whenever it's ready, you just bring it, you know. Which for me was not an option. You know, you had to be ready, you know, and by the time he finished chanting Gayatri. So I said yes, and now the whole rest of the massage, I'm just in anxiety. And I'm thinking, what order, how I'm going to do everything. So then, you know, Prabhupada went for a bath, and I just raced into the servants, going to made the chapati, they got everything, and brought it into him. Of course, and he was... So, you know, it's personal, and it's time, place, and circumstance. It's not a general. He never gave out a general, you know, devotees shouldn't do. Although he said, you know, they shouldn't eat spicy food, little bit of spice, not too much spice, and in general... Like he said, you know, he said two kinds of food, we know, they're described also in Bhagavatam. But he said two kinds of food, opulent and sumptuous. And he said opulent means lots of ghee and sugar. He said that's what you offer to the lordships, lots of opulent prasadam. He said and sumptuous means very tasty. He said, but... Those ingredients aren't part. Very simple, but very tasty. And he said, you know, prasadam should be so tasty, he said, in our temples that no one even considers eating outside. So, and that, of course, minimal amounts of, you know, oil or ghee. Then it was always ghee. There wasn't even a question of oil. And a little bit of spice, but very simple. And, you know, of course, adjustments were made just like, you know, those were going out all day. They would eat, you know, they would have lunch, breakfast and lunch all together was there. But we have to discriminate for ourselves. What do I need to take? You know, not that because it's there. And that's also difficult because we all have tongues. So as soon as you see it. And Prabhupada, you know, also, once it was Nanda Kumara, I said, Prabhupada, I had such a hard time controlling my tongue. Prabhupada said, I have a tongue. You know, in other words, I know. I also have a tongue. I like things, you know, to eat. And it was like that with prasadam. It's telpishima. You know, my favorite pastimes, some of them involve pishima. They were always so funny because she cooked for Prabhupada very heavy Bengali mustard oil, you know, offerings to Prabhupada. And, you know, by the time I was in Calcutta, been in India 3-4 months, I was always sick. You know, so I was very careful what I tried to eat. But in Calcutta, you know, they were preparing, and Pishimo's preparing on her own little separate thing, and she would bring in mustard oil because we didn't have it in the temple. She would bring in a flask, you know, like her little bottle of mustard oil, and just, it was everywhere. And Prabhupada liked it. Of course he liked it. She was an expert cook. She grew up a Bengali boy. This is what he was eating, the shukta and all these things, and cooked in mustard oil. And so I would bring Prabhupada two plates, the plates that we had made and the Pishima's plate. So, you know, one day, 2 day. And the third day, and I'm opening the doors, or like French doors, to Prabhupada's room. And he's there, don't bring that in here. The Pishimas, he said, don't bring it in here. He said, she's trying to kill me. For all you conspiracy theorists, Pishima was also trying to kill Srila Prabhupada. He said, she's trying to kill me. He said, don't bring it in here. He said, you eat it. And I'm said, Prabhupada, I disobeyed that instruction right away. I didn't even like look at what she cooked. It would make me sick. It was so heavy, you know. I said, Prabhupada, I can't eat that because he's saying you eat it, you know, just enjoy. And I'm like, Prabhupada, no. And I said, I can't eat that. I said, I'm already not feel well. He said, well, distribute it to the devotees. He said, but don't bring it in here. But what that meant was, if you bring it in here and put it down, I'm going to eat it. You know, that's what, because he liked it. It was good. You know, so we have to use our intelligence, all these different rules and regulations. You have to think for yourself, you know. Maharaj was saying yesterday, Ridayananda Maharaj, you know, we're individuals. Prabhupada was also individuals. We're all individuals. So we have to use our intelligence, what's favorable for us in Krishna consciousness, whatever that means, you know, for eating and sleeping. And we have to be thoughtful. We have to be conscious. So he sent me out of there. That was it. He didn't take it anymore. So, but, you know, and Bhojadev, who was here, he made samosas yesterday for Prabhupada, for the festival. And he made samosas for Prabhupada in Krishna Balaram Mandir in 75. He was there, and I was there. And you know, he came, well, a young boy, and came very humbly. He said, I made samosas for Prabhupada. And I was like, well, you know, Prabhupada's not eating that now, which he wasn't. Prabhupada wasn't feeling well. I said, he's not eating fried things and all. He just wants simple. So, of course, he was, oh, yeah, okay. So I said, I'll put them on the plate and bring them in. So, of course, I brought them in. Prabhupada ate them. You know, they were wonderful samosas. He said, tell, you know, who has made these samosas? I said, you know, Bhojadev, your disciple. He said, very good, you know. So, this is, we have to know what's good to do. And the Pishimu would say, when we would chastise her and say, don't do this, don't do that, she would say, Prabhupada, he can eat nails if he wants. So she saw Prabhupada, he was completely transcendental. He could eat, you know, nuts and bolts. It didn't matter. Prabhupada could eat anything. So she was cooking whatever. And Prabhupada was saying, but he could. You know, he would, sometimes he would turn on that, those different mystic opulences. We always like to hear about Prabhupada's mystic opulences, you know. He exhibited himself this way, and people saw him walking. You know, some people would see Prabhupada walking on the ground, and others would swear his feet weren't touching the ground. So you just, you know. So sometimes it also involved food. You know, Prabhupada could eat so many chapatis, just never stop, just keep eating them and eating them and eating them. Yes, Bhanupata Prabhu. That was Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked him that question. We were in Calcutta, and he said, Prabhupada, you know, you say, you said that, you know, ghee is for the inside, oil is for the outside. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, but here, you know, the Bengalis, he said, everything, they cook in oil, in mustard oil, they cook. And Prabhupada said, well, it's very tasty. But, he wasn't, you know, that's it. Besides telling us what we have to do, which is those four and one, you know. Besides that, Prabhupada, everything was, he was very flexible according to what we were doing. You know, and if someone said, well, this is, like he said, frozen foods, he said, was, you know, like garbage. And then they said, well, Prabhupada, we can't get this and we can't get this, but we can get it frozen and it's nice. And he said, well, then it's okay. So, you know, if you made an argument, but if you explained to him different situations, then he would say, well, that's, you know, that's okay. You can do that, you know. But there's just level, you know, there's classes, you know, there's first class, we had to do first class. And, of course, we always want to be first class. But I'm just like, you have a restaurant, you want to give people prasadam. And, of course, you know, we're kitchen religion. We're distributing so much food stuff. Prabhupada encouraged, of course, always using ghee. But then you have this whole other segment of society. If you do that, they're not going to get prasadam. So to cook things, you know, that don't have milk products in it is not a, you know, you say certainly do that. You just want to give prasadam. But Prabhupada's taste was, you know, definitely from the spiritual platform, which would cook for Krishna nice things, like, you know, like in Australia. You know, Prabhupada saw Australia, people were very, very kind of simple. I would say you felt like the whole country was filled with football fans. You know, they're just like, just very nice, but very friendly, but very boisterous. And you know, they can be a little on the, like that. So Prabhupada, you know, he made called Meat Eater's Delight. He came, he gave him a very special preparation that involved curd, fried paneer. He said for that taste, he said, because they're very attached to meat eating. So Prabhupada saw that, that fried paneer, which it was very, very tasty, fried in ghee. It became known as Meat Eater's Delight. I believe it's in Korma's cookbook. So that was how he, you know, that was how he wanted to attract people, you know, by prasadam. But, you know, yeah, we never had oil at that time. But then, you know, there's so many reasons people will say things, and different cultures have different tastes. So, not currently. I don't have any plans. I get encouraged, and maybe it can happen. Thank you. I'll try. Okay. Anything else? There were Vrindranath Prabhu standing there, like, look at him, transcendental. This is all we have to do, just like him, just do service for your whole life. Prabhupada, especially with pujaris, I'm going to say Prabhupada was very pujaris. He says you take care of the deity, you become their pujari. He said your whole life, you just remain with them. He said, and then your life becomes perfect. What he told Janani Vas in Mayapur, he would tell many times, he would say that to the pujaris. You just dedicate your life to your deity, and then your life is successful. So this is the example, and especially in deity worship, Prabhupada liked to see that one was prepared to give up everything to do their service like that. So, Jai Prabhu. Wonderful. I'm finished. It's okay. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.